Welcome to another Telehealth Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Patterson, and today we welcome the CEO and founder of 19 Labs, Ram Fish. So Ram, welcome. Look forward to hearing about your company and a few of the products and some of the initiatives you have going on. If we could start there, if you could tell us how 19 Labs came into being.
And 19 Labs came into being about 3.5 years ago. At the time when the idea came about, I was leading digital health at Samsung. And we were working on some interesting digital sensor technology, new kind of watches, working with startups who were doing AI and triage. On a vacation from this whole high-tech and cutting-edge technologies, I went down to Mexico, and my daughter got sick. Things ended up okay, but we spent one of those sleepless nights in the local clinic. And what struck me is how difficult it is, both for me as a technologist, to find all the answer technology, the diagnostic devices that we need to solve a medical problem, as well as how hard it is for a local remote clinic to use all of those new upcoming technologies. And we realized there is a business opportunity of not replacing doctors, but helping bring together all the new technologies so healthcare can be delivered in remote and rural places in a more effective, affordable, and smart way. And that's what we set up to do.
So this was 3.5 years ago. You have some products in place. What type of products do you have, and how are they currently being used?
So we have one product, which is Gale, and named after Nightingale Florence, which was our inspiration for the name. And the product takes different form factors to fit different settings, but the capabilities and the services, the health services that are on it are identical. So we have a point of care that you can see behind me, which is based on a 10-inch tablet. We have a portable, goes in a backpack. We have a point of care that's based on a 21-inch stationary tabletop unit, and we have one other form factor which we have not announced yet. The first thing that we realized is that this is not about placing a video call. Getting a healthcare consultation has many more steps and many more elements. Sometimes you need to do a video call, sometimes you're not. But if you think about your visit to a clinic today, how you go in, the receptionist checks things, informs you what the clinic can do, guides you to the right information services, gives you the right leaflets, takes you to the nurse, takes your vitals, go to the doctor, follows up afterwards. There is an experience that's much more comprehensive. And we believe that the industry view of, oh, let's just make a video call, is the wrong experience. So we created an equivalent experience that lets anybody use the unit. You don't have to be trained as a healthcare professional. You get to the unit, you get to take your own vital signs, you get to learn about different issues. There's a whole set of healthcare interactive guides developed by Stanford professor Paul Orbach and us. You get to choose which one of the different telehealth services you want to use, and they can be provided from different providers and different technologies, so you're not locked into a specific just urgent care or just telehealth group. We let you do the video calls. During the video calls, the physician gets real-time access to all of the different diagnostic devices, so they get to control them and view your real-time healthcare information. And afterwards, you're able to do automatic follow-ups to collect things like blood pressure or glucose on a weekly or monthly basis. All of this done in a simple, very easy to use, affordable way. It's done so that anybody can use it. And that's really important because it means that the operating costs of those mini clinics is radically different than if I had to put a registered nurse or a doctor to use the echo. It means that in a rural town in Mexico or a rural school in North Carolina, you can have a 19-year-old high school graduate operate the unit and become the center of the local community, providing and helping the local community get the best health services, where the actual health consultation is provided by doctor or nurse from Monterrey, Mexico City, Raleigh, Duke University, wherever it is. And in many places, it's actually a combination where the medical advice can come from 500 miles away, 1,000 miles away, and 2,000 miles away on the same unit. We've also built a whole deployment management system that allows the healthcare organization to deploy those effectively. We view our role as the technology vendor that brings together all those amazing innovation, integrates them, puts together a layer of security and accessibility to guarantee that it's secure and the health information is properly protected. We do all of this in a way that's easy for a healthcare organization to deploy. So we look at ourselves as the technology partner that allows healthcare organization to extend their reach.
I've been around telehealth for a long time, and your product obviously addresses a number of use cases and a number of scenarios. Could you take, say, one use case and kind of walk me through how that would work, walk the audience through from the patient end right until the to the provider end? What would their experiences be like?
I'll take a couple of examples. One example in a deployment we have in schools in North Carolina, where the units are placed in small rural communities where the local health center is about 40 miles away, in communities that have a lot of low income population and health issues with the kids, diabetes, obesity. The units are placed in the school, so the local nurse who's in 40 miles away gets a phone call either on her phone or on her desktop that somebody in the school wants to visit her. They sometimes use it on demand, sometimes they do it for scheduled meetings. They then jump on the video call, able to listen to the stethoscope, look at the pulse ox, blood pressure, and diagnose and prescribe for the kids. In the school, this is done by either a local nurse or somebody from the administrative staff, and it was, they found it to be much more affordable, probably in a ratio of almost a fifth or a tenth of the cost of any existing solutions. At the same time, they have different healthcare guides that are on the unit. So if they want to figure out what to do in case of a different first aid situation or emergency situation, the procedures are on the unit, so they are easily traceable. And they get consistency of care among the different locations. And in the end of each one of those visits, the nurse gets to download an audio analysis of the visit and upload it into their existing EHR. So there was very, very little integration really needed. They basically put the units in. They're either Wi-Fi or cellular. We gave the nurse the logins. They log in from their web browser or their tablet. That was done. There was no complicated technology integration. It's very easy to take on for the school and required very little effort in adapting existing workflows. Another example that's being developed and we are deploying right now is in rural communities in Mexico. And that's a very similar scenario. And in that scenario, the local units are placed in communities that have just gotten internet over satellite access. People don't really, app is not really an option. The local 19-year-old high school is being trained to operate the unit and become the center of the healthcare for the local community. So that's in terms of use cases. Actually, one other use case, and that's the kind of the for us, it's the most lucrative use case, is probably the use case at employers in the US, where the units are placed in offices of between 50 to 500 employees. They provide both healthcare guidance, wellness programs, as well as urgent care, mental care, and dietitian advice. We do that one together with our partner, American Well. And within the same unit, you have access to different clinics. And that's a critical part. You can make a voice call to the local health administrator. You can make a video call to an American Well physician. You can do even an age free-to-free call into an urgent care if needed. So that's really solving a critical problem into the employers who are looking, you know, they provide a doctor or a nurse in the large facilities, but they needed a solution for mid-size offices.
You'd mentioned EMR integration, EHR integration, and said that was pretty straightforward. Which EHRs do you have experience with? Just name a couple.
We actually have not had to integrate yet, because right now most of our customers just uploading a visit summary PDF. We looked at the different options. There are a couple of companies that we can work with to integrate it. So we really have not seen the EHR being an issue. Multiple companies can sit in the middle and basically bridge you into any EHR system in the market today. So I've mostly found this issue to be kind of the stuff that the IT guys will jump on and say, oh, we need EHR, we need EHR. And then when you actually look at the use case, the type of information that you really need to be uploaded, you realize that, you know, uploading a PDF with the blood pressure, visit summary, and the pulse ox is just as good, or photos from the otoscope is just as good.
Well, thank you for that. You hit an excellent point, because I often get calls from people new to telehealth going, what type of equipment should I purchase? And so my first question back, or what are your workflows? Or what are your use cases, and what are your workflows?
Yeah, and you know, it's again, I've found it too many times. People try to add layers of technologies and go for something that, you know, sounds in theory, oh, we must have EHR. But when you actually look at the details, you realize, well, in 2019, probably not. In 2021, when blood testing will be integrated and urine testing will be integrated, and we'll have ultrasound and other devices, that's when EHR will start making sense. But right now, for 2019 and the kind of information we are collecting, there are better, easier solutions, and it's more important to get things going and start providing the healthcare rather than let IT guys go back and forth on specs.
Gotcha. Thank you for that. I appreciate that perspective. I want to go back a little bit and not get too personal about your company, but if you can speak a little bit to how you're funded, or, you know, and what your market, what you look like as far as growth, and you don't have to give us exact numbers, but I think anyone looking at telehealth equipment want to know. They want to know the company's going to be around for a few years.
Well, I've had multiple exits in the past. We have built this out of a lot of passion. I funded it together with a couple of high tech executives. We have three VCs behind us: Trans-Pacific, TEC, and Teal Ventures. It's something that we believe is really essential for the industry. Thinking about healthcare in a full holistic way of what it takes to get a healthcare into a village, not starting with a technology like many other companies have done and said, oh, we need video. Has it been easy? No. Are we here to stay? Yes. So.
Well, thank you for that. And I will throw in a point. I did see you in Becker's hospital report as one of the companies to watch.
So, oh, thank you.
In a good way. And let's say you're in San Francisco. So are you, so where are some of your customers? And I know geography really means nothing.
Our customers are typically in all the places people don't like flying into. you know, since I started this company, I got to go to Louisville, Kentucky. Pardon me if people do like, but that was a new one for me. Saskatchewan, rural places in North Carolina. I think Victoria ended up going to Asheville and flying from Asheville. Couple of remote places in Texas, places in Louisiana, Idaho, you know, a lot of places in the middle of the country that are typically not that accessible, but that's their whole value proposition behind the company.
Well, that it's giving access to healthcare, which is what telehealth is all about.
Yeah, and you know, this is just within the U.S. and Canada, Mexico. We had trials going on in Guatemala. You know, the U.S. and the employer market might be the most lucrative one, but the one that gets us most excited about is the opportunities to really bring healthcare into some of the rural communities in Latin and Central America.
You touched a little bit about security, and since this is a technology podcast, I have to ask about HIPAA and, you know, how you secure your devices, and also connectivity. I'm assuming you're using cellular to connect back from a lot of these companies or for all these countries.
We use whatever we have. Like, you know, we don't really care. We just, last week we were in San Diego with a government official from multiple countries in Central America, and we were using satellite through a Wi-Fi access point. We've tested the unit flying using Wi-Fi on commercial jets. In employer settings, it's either Wi-Fi or Ethernet. In the tablet, it's either Wi-Fi or cellular. We don't really care what the connection is. We'll use whatever is available. In general, that's our approach. It's a very pragmatic approach. We use technologies. We love finding good, reliable technologies or solutions from other vendors and integrate them into a complete value proposition. So we love finding new kind of diagnostic devices, everything from the Echo's Core and Duo stethoscopes to some new otoscopes coming up that have much better field of view and as a result, much easier to use than traditional otoscopes, you know, order of magnitude cheaper and don't really require any aiming. We right now working on integration of AI and triage from different partners. And one important point is, you asked about HIPAA and data, is we don't keep the data. We don't believe that the data is ours. The data either belongs to the patient or the healthcare provider. So we finish the visit, we delete all the data. We are not in the, let me collect all of your data and analyze it. Not a typical approach. And a few of the head of VCs have thrown up on this approach saying, oh, you must collect all data. But that's not really something we believe in. The data really belongs to the patient. And, you know, during the visit, it's important the doctor gets the ability to see it. Afterwards, they can upload it to the EHR, but we should not be retaining this data. We have a support hotline, so when people run into issues, you know, we have Zoom integrated and we can control the units remotely. That's part of our deployment management solution. And it's a 24/7 line. We sign BAA with all of our partners. We really look at this as an ecosystem play. There's a lot of important innovation in how to do innovation. Like, building diagnostic devices is not easy. But how you take a diagnostic device and turn this into a complete solution, that's where we see our role, is working with the industry, supporting different business models with the different diagnostic devices, being a good partner, both to the diagnostic devices, to the healthcare providers, and together bringing a great healthcare experience to the patients.
Years back, telehealth was all about the technology, because we're doing testing proof of concept. But
It's not about
hit the nail on the head. It's no longer about the technology.
Yeah.
What do you see as a future for telehealth, and specifically your company, and how you? Where do you see this industry going?
I see the endpoint, the remote clinic. So actually, let me back off. Healthcare is growing as an industry. That's the first most important things to do. People need more healthcare. We live longer, we can address more and more situations, so the need for healthcare is growing. The ability to use and diagnose is getting simpler. So if 20 years ago you needed a doctor to attach an EKG or to use an ultrasound, now we can take a 19-year-old person and teach them how to use it. They might not be able to diagnose, but they're able to apply it to the person. You put this together with connectivity, and you see, as Eric Topol says a few years ago, that the hospital walls are falling down. The hospital, the clinics are moving to more and more places. They are moving into retail, they are moving into schools, they are moving into rural communities. And in those places, we are going to see remote clinics with the capabilities increasing radically in the next few years. We are going to have blood testing. There's already urine testing right now. We are going to see new kind of imaging devices. If ultrasound was $80,000 10 years ago, today you can buy really high quality ones from Clarius, for example, at the $10,000 range. And there are more vendors coming up, taking the price even down. The sophistication, the adding of image recognition, I'm intentionally avoiding words like AI and machine learning, but as those technologies come in, you'll be able to learn more and use those devices in a way that more people can use it in more use cases. So the clinics are moving out. People will be using those clinics. Some of it will fully automated, some of it will require a doctor in the back end, some of it will require some person to assist you, but we are absolutely seeing the wave as being new kind of remote clinics in all of those locations. The other thing that's really fundamental for us is we tried to align the business incentives. So our business model is really not about, okay, we'll sell you a hardware, but it's more like we operate a mall. So we put the unit in the remote location, and based on the different services that are offered, we collect unlimited usage monthly fee for those different services, which basically means the more services, the more you use it, the happier you are and the happier we are.
What can we expect out of 19 labs, say in the next year, next 5 years?
I used to work at Apple, and you know, it used to be like we do not make comments about future products. I will say that the form factor, you know, whether you put it in your backpack, you put it on a desk or other things, we really don't care. We are very pragmatic. We think that to be able to put the clinic in more and more places, we need to support different form factors, different endpoint devices, and we are fully behind it. We really view it as an ecosystem that's important for us to bring and make it easy to develop new applications and new use cases. And so we see ourselves as the glue that connects the industry more than anything else.
So in conclusion, as we wrap up here, anything you'd like to say about our 19 labs, telehealth? What do you guys... Why 19 labs over the competition or anything? Here's your chance.
Because it's easier, cheaper, like it's the easiest path forward to deploy and expand your healthcare provider reach into new location, be it into a nursing home, into a school, into an employer, into a rural community. We take the headache out of it. We make it affordable, easy for the healthcare provider to deploy, and the services they are now deploying are smart, effective healthcare services. And that's what we are proud to do.
I've enjoyed meeting with you, unless there's anything else that you would like to tell the audience.
I think that's all we have.
And we'll put up their contact information or your contact information, 19 Labs, so people know how to get in touch with you.
Sales at 19labs.com. It's easy.
Well, Ram, thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
All right. Thank you.